Grace and peace to you from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the sevenfold Spirit before his throne, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Amen. As you hear the reading of that Pentecost day, 50 days after Jesus' resurrection from the dead that we just heard from Acts chapter 2, you maybe feel a bit jealous of the apostles, that miraculous outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that supernatural power that they were given and that they got to experience. What an amazing thing it must have been to be there on that day, to hear that sound of the rushing wind and to know that something special was happening, that the promise that Jesus had made was being fulfilled, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was happening, and there was visual confirmation of that as they saw the little flames like tongues of fire coming down over the heads of each one of them. And then as they began to hear that sound of each of them being able to speak in the different native languages of all the peoples who were gathered together there on that day. If you're like me, if you spent any time studying, trying to learn another language, a foreign language, maybe you've wished that you could have that miraculous ability to, without having to put in all that time and effort, to just miraculously and immediately be able to fluently speak in another language that you hadn't spent time studying and learning and practicing and making countless mistakes and being corrected by native speakers of that language countless times, but just being able to effortlessly communicate with others in that language, and especially to be able to communicate with them about the love of Jesus in their own native language. What a wonderful privilege. Maybe as you have thought about that day of Pentecost and the days that followed and weeks and months and years as recorded in the book of Acts, maybe you've just desired also some of the other miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit that he gave to the apostles and to people in that early Christian church, the miraculous ability to heal people of sicknesses and other physical ailments, the miraculous ability to sometimes prophesy the future, also to do other great works of faith. Even in the early Christian church, the apostles raised people back to life after they had suddenly died, just as Jesus had done during his ministry. Maybe you've thought that if you could do miraculous signs like that, that would help so much to be able to convince people to believe in Jesus as you try to share the gospel with them. Maybe you've thought to yourself that just sharing the gospel with someone is so hard. It's so hard to convince someone to believe and to confess that they are sinful and that they need the forgiveness of sins that Jesus has won for them. It would just be so much easier if God would just perform miraculous signs, would allow me to perform miraculous signs to prove that the message of Jesus that I'm sharing is true. If I could do miraculous signs like that, then so many people would come to faith through the message that I share. Why doesn't God pour out his Holy Spirit upon us, his church, today, as he did upon the apostles that first Pentecost day and in the early decades of the church's history? It's so unfair. We have it so much harder today than they had it at that time. Well, maybe as you hear today about some of the charismatic churches, the Pentecostal churches, and how so many people are flocking to those churches and raving about the miracles that allegedly take place there and the supernatural powers that are poured out upon the people there, speaking in tongues, miraculous powers, supernatural visions that people claim to have, faith healings that claim to happen. We see people flocking to those churches sometimes, and we might wonder, well, maybe we have it wrong about the Holy Spirit. Maybe he still does give these gifts in great quantity to the church today. Maybe we just have to pray harder or believe harder or be more spiritual in our daily lives. But if we begin to think in this way, then we're really missing the whole point that Jesus made about the mission and work of the Holy Spirit. Yes, as we see in Acts chapter 2 very clearly, on that day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit did grant the apostles miraculous abilities to speak in other languages that they had never learned before. And yes, the Holy Spirit did grant other miraculous abilities to some members of the early Christian church in the years that followed that Pentecost. But Jesus says in our gospel reading today that the mission of the Holy Spirit is not to wow and dazzle people with spectacular visible miracles, but rather, as we read in John 15, verse 26, Jesus says, "When the Counselor," referring to the Holy Spirit, "comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me." So the Holy Spirit isn't bringing something new. He's not bringing a new message or a new gospel. He's not making himself the focus of attention and adoration. Rather, as Jesus says, he will teach us all things and will remind us about the things that we have already learned by placing the focus on the saving work of Jesus. Just as Jesus also said in the previous chapter before our reading, John chapter 14, in verse 26 of that chapter, Jesus says, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I told you." And in the chapter after our reading, John chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth." And so in those three chapters of John's Gospel, John 14 through 16, we see that Jesus is clearly teaching us what our theology of the Holy Spirit should be, what our understanding of the Holy Spirit and his work should be. Jesus clearly tells us what we can expect from the Holy Spirit. We can't expect, or certainly we can't demand, that the Holy Spirit give us miraculous abilities of speaking other languages that we've never learned before, or doing other miraculous signs and wonders, acts of healing. Rather, what we can expect from the Holy Spirit is that he will guide us into all truth. And he will do that by testifying about Jesus, by reminding us of everything that Jesus has said to us. Another way of saying that is that he will do that through the Bible, through his word. Now, at the time that Jesus had spoken these words, the Holy Spirit had already inspired the prophets to write and speak God's word in the 39 books of the Old Testament. And Jesus' words, his promise to the apostles, clearly indicate that the Holy Spirit would fill them and would also inspire them to write down God's word in the 27 books of the New Testament. And so Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth. And he refers to the Holy Bible, that product of the work of the Spirit of truth, also as truth itself. When Jesus is praying in John chapter 17, he prays to God the Father for God to sanctify them, sanctify us, Jesus' followers, believers, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And so as we see that in context, as we look at Jesus' promise to send the Holy Spirit in that context, we no longer need to view the Holy Spirit's work as something mysterious, something miraculous, something abstract. At least certainly not in the sense of those miraculous powers that charismatic churches place so much emphasis on. Rather, the Holy Spirit's mission and work is very straightforward. He proclaims the gospel truth about Jesus. That is all that we need. And that's all that anyone else needs for salvation. We don't need any other miraculous signs or powers or abilities. The gospel, the good news about Jesus itself, is a miraculous sign and power. God tells us through the inspired writer, the Apostle Paul, in Romans chapter 1, that the gospel is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. So we already have the awesome power of God for salvation. We have always had that power in the gospel, in God's word, in the Bible, in the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. And so the idea that we need any other kind of miraculous power, sign, or wonder in order to convince us or to convince other people to believe in Jesus, that idea is actually a lie of the devil, who wants us to ignore or at least to take some of the focus off of the true miraculous power for salvation, the good news about forgiveness through Jesus that is already given to us in the Bible and in the sacraments. And so as we reflect on that truth and perhaps on our misplaced hopes and desires for those spectacular miracles of the Spirit, we must confess to God those times when we have not fully trusted in His power, the power of His Spirit, working through His Word and sacraments to strengthen our faith, to confirm and strengthen us in that faith in Jesus, and to also convert the hearts of unbelievers to believe in Jesus as their Savior. Despite what Jesus has testified about the power of the gospel message, we very often doubted the power and efficacy of that simple gospel message. We've so often wished for other things to persuade and to convince and to use as magic bullets to accomplish our mission work. For these sins of doubt in God's word and His promises, we repent. We ask for God's forgiveness. And we must go back again and again to the Spirit of truth, to the fountain of truth, the Word of God, and to see there again the Holy Spirit's testimony about Jesus. There in God's Word, the Holy Spirit reveals to us the miracles of our salvation, that the Almighty, eternal God willingly became a lowly human being for our salvation, that the Almighty God worked and taught among lowly, sinful human beings on this earth for our salvation, that the Almighty God perfectly kept God's law, submitting Himself to that law for our salvation, that the Almighty God submitted Himself to the unjust punishment of men for our salvation, that the Almighty God died on the cross for our salvation, that the Almighty God revealed His full glory again by rising from the dead and ascending into heaven, and by ruling over all things in heaven and on earth and things seen and unseen for the good of His church, of all believers. And He will reveal His full glory to all people one final time at the end of the age when He comes again in judgment and in the final act of salvation for those who believe in Him. These acts of Jesus fulfilling God's promise to save the world from its sins are miraculous signs and wonders. And they've been with us all along, right here in God's Word. These are the only miracles that we need for the forgiveness of our sins and for our salvation. These are the only miracles that we need in order to accomplish God's commission to go and make disciples of all nations. Yes, it would be nice if we had the miraculous ability to speak the good news about Jesus in other languages, to speak that word fluently. But God has already given His word to us, translated already into many different languages, and that work continues to go on, being translated into even more and more languages and other Christian materials and devotionals and other things that we can share with people to bring them the good news of salvation through Jesus in their own native languages, so that we can make use for them of that miraculous, eternal life-giving power of the Holy Spirit. We already have the powerful testimony of Jesus by the Spirit of truth right here in God's Word in the Bible. Jesus also says in verse 27 of our reading, "You also are going to testify." Now, when Jesus says that, when we hear that commission of him to us, we don't have to wonder what we should be testifying about. We don't have to try to come up with something new and original, something that's going to wow people and really dazzle and amaze them and attract them by our skills of rhetoric. We simply proclaim to them the testimony of the Spirit of truth, the gospel, the good news about Jesus in God's word and in the sacraments. And we proclaim that as our testimony as well. We proclaim to others the forgiveness of all of our sins through the perfect life and the innocent suffering and death of Jesus on the cross, just as that message has also been proclaimed to us. Unlike the apostles whom Jesus to whom he was speaking, we were not eyewitnesses or ear witnesses of the things that Jesus did and the words that he taught. But nevertheless, just as he said to them, in a sense, we also have been with him from the beginning. We've been with him from the beginning of the gospel books of the Bible, as they tell about his birth and the ministry of John the Baptist, who prepared the way for Jesus' own ministry. And we've been with Jesus during his ministry on earth as he was teaching and performing miraculous signs and wonders. We've been with him, in a sense, as we read about those things in the gospel books in the Bible. And we have been with him also during his suffering and death, and during his resurrection and ascension into heaven, as we read about those things in the final chapters of the gospel books in the Bible. And so, although strictly speaking, we are not physical eye and ear witnesses of those things that Jesus did and the things that he taught, yet we have the next best thing. We have the written testimony about Jesus, and inspired every word by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. And in a way, perhaps this testimony is even better than being an eyewitness or an ear witness, because our it's not based on our recollection, which is subject to our memories fading over time and perhaps being unclear or uncertain about what we had seen and heard, but it is the objective truth, recorded and inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, written down in the Bible for us. And so through God's word, we have been with Jesus from the beginning. So let's testify about him boldly, with full confidence in the miraculous power of the gospel that the Spirit of truth has equipped us with. Let's go and testify about that miraculous power that we have experienced, the outpouring of God's grace upon us through the washing of water with the word and baptism, the assurance of the full forgiveness of all of our sins that we receive each time we receive the body and blood of Jesus in the Lord's Supper, and the full assurance of all of God's promises of grace and mercy that he assures us of every time we read his word in the Bible. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, listen to the Spirit of truth as he testifies about our Savior Jesus. Believe in him, and then go and testify boldly to others about this miraculous truth. Amen.